I'm Tiffany Hansen.
And you're listening to All of It. And that is the latest single from Long Island's own The Lemon Twigs, the title track of their forthcoming album, A Dream Is All We Know. It will be the sibling duo's fifth album, following last year's critically acclaimed Everything Harmony, an album favorably compared to mid-60s Beach Boys, The Beatles, and Bee Gees by reviewers. Following its release, Paste magazine called The Lemon Twigs the new princes of rock and roll. Their forthcoming album captures more of the long-haired duo's masterful retro sound that began on their debut, recorded and released when they were still two high schoolers from Hicksville. Today, brothers Brian and Michael Daddario. Did I say that right, you guys?
Yeah.
Yeah, Daddario, Daddario.
All right, we'll get there.
It's a bit like tomato, tomato.
Nice. Okay. Well, maybe I'll just change it every time I say it. Yeah. They're here with me in WNYC Studio 5 to preview the new album, which is out May 3rd, and play some songs live. Brian, Michael, welcome to All of It.
Thank you.
And hey, how about nice in stereo? Let's just get started with a song. How about My Golden Years? Let's start there.
That sounds good.
Let's do it. These my golden years, how can I try and push down my fears? 'Cause in the blink of an eye, I'll watch these golden years fly by. In time, I hope that I can show all the world the love in my mind. I know try, I'll get these golden years to shine.
How can I get near it? If all I do is fear it.
So bad. Well, no. And now, though so much has passed, the only thing true is nothing. And in the blink of an eye, I'll watch these golden years fly by. Thinking back on the many times I cried, what could have been if I stood up tall and tried?
That was My Golden Years, performed by The Lemon Twigs, here with us in studio today. This is All of It. I'm Tiffany Hansen, in for Allison Stewart. The Lemon Twigs, also known as Brian and Michael Daddario. Brian, let's start with you.
Sure.
You guys have been credited with coining the term Mersey Beach.
Yep. It'll go on our Wikipedia page. It'll say it on my tombstone, hopefully.
So, what is it?
It is a combination, perfect combination of the Beatles, Mersey, Jerry and the Pacemakers, Sound,
mm-hmm.
and the Beach Boys, Southern California, Jan and Dean,
mm.
the Trade Winds,
mm.
who else? Bruce and Terry.
That's New York's Lonely Town. Harmony Sound, yes. That wonderful, all-encompassing
right.
stereo
Jan
harmony
Jan
sound.
Jan and Dean. Yeah, that's
Jan
good.
And
that
Dean,
was good,
yes.
yeah. All right.
We're hoping it'll sweep the nation
so,
like a wildfire.
I mean, it already is now. So I'm wondering then, since you coined the phrase, you really view it as a thing, like a real thing. It's not just a marketing phrase for you.
It's as much a marketing phrase as it is a real thing, I would say.
Right, yeah. It's equal
you know,
parts
we wouldn't,
marketing
I wouldn't
phrase.
Say we had any sort of conscious... put any conscious effort into, you know, combining those sounds. But, you know, when it comes to our, you know, biggest influences, I would say it neatly describes our biggest influences.
Yeah. All right. Well, in the liner notes to A Dream Is All We Know, there's a focus on the year 1968. So I'm wondering... What? Why are you giving me that look?
Oh, no, 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 no. There's no,
you're like,
there,
no,
there's no
she's
look.
Wrong.
No, no, no. This is all correct. This is all information, but I don't know that it's meant to be taken so literally or seriously. It's kind of like, you know, you make a record and then they kind of ask you to come up with some way to kind of present it so that it's maybe... People know what they're
context.
Getting into before
right.
they listen to it.
But yeah.
But so for us, you know, these are things, and it's certainly more accurate than it would be, I guess, if somebody else wrote it. You know.
So, but 1968 is a year that you connect with.
Sure.
Musically.
Especially, I think, sonically. Like, I would say, like, the sonics of the record fit neatly into that. It's another thing that fits very neatly.
So yeah. Describe 1968 sonically for me.
Well, I guess like the record has a lot of I don't know. The record has a lot of compression, a lot of bussing things together, and
bussing things together.
Yeah, you know, it kind of you take the drums and you fuse them together, and you put them through a compressor. You take that and you put it with the bass because you have a limited kind of number of tracks that you're working.
Yeah,
with, because they were working with. Low track numbers on their
sure.
tape machines and stuff. But it's not as primitive as earlier than that, and the stereo image is kind of wider. And, you know, it's kind of just...
Yeah, 68 allowed for overdubbing, like we record our records, playing all the instruments and doing one track at a time. But it also didn't have quite the fullness in frequency that the mid-70s,
yeah,
say, had.
Yeah, sure.
I want to bring your dad in. No, he's not here. Ronnie D'Addario, also a musician.
Yeah.
His website says he grew up listening to 1960s pop music. I think as kids, we are drawn to what our parents are listening to a lot of the time. I remember specifically songs that were on the radio when I was in my mom's Opel. And I was a mm-hmm. little kid driving around. I can tell you exactly what that feels like and what that day feels like. So how does that influence from your dad affect all of this attraction for you to that specific era?
Well, a number of ways because he's a musician as well, as you said. And when we were first writing songs, you know, there was the influence of like not only like I love this music, but there was the influence of like just when it came to melody and chords, things had to be sort of interesting, you know, to get his attention. So they had to be kind of uncommon. They had to go in a way that you didn't necessarily expect,
yeah.
which is also what the great, you know, Beatles or Beach Boys songs do. They modulate a lot. They go from key to key and, you know, things like that. So that
yeah.
was the biggest.
But
I think,
in a
influence.
Pop format, you know, you're doing that and you're able to put it into this pop format. But I mean, of course, just the era of music and everything is entirely. We were kind of, we had tunnel vision, you know, like we were presented with. We didn't know really what was going on in the outside world.
Yeah,
musically,
only really
we really only listened to what my dad and mom played and oldies radio and stuff, and kind of shunned modern music. Really,
is there modern music you connect with?
Yeah, I would say like. like Royal Trucks was like the last modern thing that I was.
But modern, you know, it's into. Like they're not really modern at
well,
this point.
Their
I suppose.
Their last album came out in 2019. I was into that.
Yeah, we there,
That's
there's lots of things.
Well,
no, no, but they're a band, you know,
started
from
the
90s. And,
oh, right,
yeah,
right,
yeah.
Right, right.
Great band. You know, there's lots of bands that we like. They're typically indebted to the 60s and 70s, though. They typically have a sound that's reminiscent
sure.
of that era.
So both of you have also had acting careers. You've been on Broadway. Brian, you were in The Little Mermaid, Les Mis. Michael, you were in All My Sons on Broadway. So I'm wondering how that professional theater experience, you know, influences your approach to live performances like this one here as mm-hmm. The Lemon Twigs.
Well, I think we're a little bit more used to it, I guess. We definitely turn on when, you know, the camera's on or whatever, maybe. I don't know. We
don't
get
know
into sort
that.
Of a performance mode, I would say.
Are you
is
in
more
character?
Accurate. No, just like a little bit more focused than we would be if we weren't performing.
Yeah,
but
I guess
that's probably the case for non, you know, actors.
People without
or people
that
without
experience, too. I think
background.
That we also, you know, simultaneously, we were playing a lot of shows when we were kids in bands and stuff. So it's hard to chalk that up to the
right.
acting or whatever, because we were kind of always performing in different contexts. And
mm-hmm. Your 2018 album, Go to School, was, quote, a musical by the Lemon Twigs.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's a concept album. So talk about the challenges of creating a concept album.
Well, you kind of, in that case, I was way more into the story than Michael was. And I would kind of say to him, you know, your song has to be about this, you know, you write a song about this. And I had this sort of feeling of like really wanting to go through with it because we had the impetus of the idea. And, you know, in retrospect, I don't dislike the album, but I think it's more healthy and creative to write without that aim of like having to tie songs together in a conscious way. It's better to just sort of let the song be a vehicle for your subconscious.
So no more concept albums coming from the Lemon Twigs.
Probably not.
That's the headline. Any idea that it might that Go to School might actually go to a stage show?
I don't know. There was interest a while ago, but it's kind of like if that were to work, we'd have to be really into it. And it seems like
something we could possibly do when it's a little bit, you know, further away.
Further in the rear view.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's get to some more music here. How about let's hear Corner of My Eye?
Sure.
Another little slurp of water.
I've got a wonderful feeling that's ripe for being wrong. Lately, the Lord's got me kneeling. It's been hard to get along. But when I've got you in the corner of my eye, all my moments are the same when day or night. Got you in the corner of my eye. All my moments are the same when day or night. I saw you twice before. Now I really wanna see you more. I
got you in the corner of my eye. All my moments are the same one day or night. I saw you twice before. Now I really wanna see you more. When I've got you in the corner of my eye, all my moments are the same.
That's the Lemon Twigs here on All of It. You are listening to us live in studio. That song, Corner of My Eye, came from your last album, Everything Harmony, which will turn a year old on May 5th. That's just 2 days after the release of this new album called A Dream Is All We Know. I'm going to say that seems like a really tight turnaround.
Well, there was quite a bit of time between finishing Everything Harmony and releasing that, maybe about 9 months. And so in that interim, we weren't touring, and we really got into working on A Dream Is All We Know in that time. We weren't, like, fully signed to Capture Tracks at that point. And, you know, there were things like, you know, manufacturing things that happened. And
takes a long time, yeah. It took a long time to get it straight, you know.
But, I mean, there are musicians who will tell you it takes me 10 years to come out with another album.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I look at what you said, 9 months, and I think, holy cow, that's like more than a song a month.
Yeah. I mean, we're writing like way more than that, you know. It's just, it's way easier to write the songs for us than to record them and produce them. So, yeah.
Why is that?
I think it's just more fun to write songs for us, you know? It's like, I don't know, it's just really fun.
Yeah, yeah. It's such, and we just get kind of melodic ideas a lot of the time, but carrying out and having the time to carry them out and
produce them the correct way. You know?
Yeah, to produce them in really the right way where
strings and things like that.
Yeah, certain ones need that kind of thing. So,
one of you will say, hey, I got an idea for this thing I'm hearing in my head, and play it, and then next thing you know, it's a song.
Right. I mean, and we'll do that a lot independently too, you know, more so than we do it together.
Mm-hmm.
I'll get an idea.
But we get arrangement ideas when we're just playing each other what we've written. The other person will get arrangement ideas, and it helps to have a pool of songs, you know.
Right. So you talked about, you know, the recording process for you and how different that is from the songwriting process. You recorded Everything Harmony between 2020, 2021. That's major pandemic era.
Mm-hmm.
So how did that affect things?
Well, I mean, we decided to move out of our parents maybe about a year into the pandemic, maybe a little less, 6 months. And the recording studio was there for, you know, our whole career up until that point. And so we moved to this place in Midtown that was just a rehearsal studio. And I mean, the pandemic, it was just, you know, we could only record or whatever, but yeah. We weren't necessarily more productive because
we got pretty sick of each other.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
It just,
well,
yeah.
Welcome.
I tend to forget that whole thing.
Well, we have bad memories in general.
All right. Just not specifically of the pandemic, but just in general, you guys don't, yeah.
Yeah, retain a lot. That's not musical.
Well, can you remember how the process was different from, just as compared to the process for this current album?
Yeah, well,
Like just how it felt.
Well, when we went to finish the album in San Francisco, and it was just Brian and I and an engineer, our friend Rias.
The Everything Harmony album.
The Everything Harmony album, yeah. And I guess it was, you know, more isolated. Way more isolated.
We hadn't played any shows. Like, we had played a lot of shows this past year.
That's true.
And that,
that
did kind
the
of
album
inform
a lot.
The album, because
we wanted more upbeat stuff.
Yeah.
The last record was pretty down because, I mean,
you were
it
down.
Was just,
everybody
yeah, we were
was down,
down.
Yeah.
And we were in our rooms with, the, you know, acoustic guitar and stuff.
Yeah, mm-hmm. singing quietly.
And you say touring and being in front of live audiences affects the work. Is that like, oh, everybody, that seems to really resonate with people.
Yeah.
For sure.
That's typically what it is, you know.
Yeah,
you might want to, you have more of a reason to do like a little rock and roll song or something like that as opposed to a ballad just because people fall asleep.
Yeah.
Standing up.
Okay. I want to talk about collaboration. There's a song on A Dream Is All We Know that is co-produced by Sean Ono Lennon, who is also featured on bass, mm-hmm. and it's called In the Eyes of the Girl. So what I want to talk about specifically is collaboration and how you approach that.
Well, we typically don't do all that much on our records, aside from bring people in to play. And we generally have pretty, you know, specific ideas about what we want them to play. But it was really nice working with Sean because he has a really good ear for harmony and melody. And he wouldn't suggest something that harmonically didn't work. You know, he's like a true musician, you know. And so it's always good when you get to play with someone who's bringing in, you know, something. And also who can take direction well and things like that, you know. And
yeah,
also
and has ideas. You know, sometimes you kind of got to work with somebody and they have an idea and you go, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but you know you're not going to do that. But that wasn't the situation with him. And luckily with most of the people that we collaborate, I mean, you find out pretty quick if it doesn't work that well to work with somebody.
Any dream collaborations? Now's
McCartney,
the time.
McCartney. McCartney would be cool.
Yeah, McCartney. Jeff Lynne.
Yep.
Paul,
Roy
if you're
Wood.
Listening. Paul, if you're listening.
Roy Wood.
Roy Wood, yeah.
Yeah.
You had guest appearances on previous albums.
Yeah.
Todd Rundgren. How was that unique?
Well,
similar.
Yeah, would you
similarly
mean?
to Sean. He's somebody who's a really great musician, so.
Right. A musician's musician.
Right.
For sure.
And,
yeah.
and when that's the situation, it's pretty easy. It's just a matter of getting the performance on tape or whatever, or, you know, knowing what you want. And I think that with Todd, he's famous for if you don't know what you want, he'll figure out what you want anyway. So, or something, an alternative.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, he's the consummate professional. We had him on stage and playing with us too, and he was handed a guitar that was a very difficult guitar to play. He played it very, very well. He didn't want anything in his monitor.
Yeah.
You know, he's just he can just work with anything, is my point.
Mm. You have said, you've said about the album we talked about, Go to School, that obviously it's a concept album. It's very escapist in its storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
Generally speaking, do you think your work overall has kind of an escapist bent?
It could, yeah. I mean, maybe less so the last album because it was more about like day-to-day life and it dealt with some, you know, more slightly heavier feelings, Everything Harmony. But we tend to fall back on this sort of thing that's just more like joyful. I mean, I think our lyrics sometimes are, they usually are about something true.
That's really happened, yeah.
But
I think that
just the way it's all packaged and stuff like that, it's just supposed to give you a good feeling.
Yeah, I think that the instrumentation is a big part of that, and kind of that like use of, you know, harpsichord and
right.
kind of fun instruments that people don't typically, you know, it's not this real raw thing with like, you know, just a straight rock band or just an acoustic guitar.
Mm.
Often it's pretty ornate with a lot of harmonies and stuff, which
yeah.
I think seems escapist.
Right.
You know, has that feel.
Right, right.
Well, we're going to take a quick break. We are talking with the Lemon Twigs about their forthcoming album, A Dream Is All We Know, and we're going to do some music when we come back. How's that sound?
Cool.
Good. All right, you're listening to All of It. I'm Tiffany Hansen, in for Allison Stewart. You're listening to All of It. I'm Tiffany Hansen, in for Allison Stewart, and we are talking with the Lemon Twigs about their forthcoming album, A Dream Is All We Know, forthcoming as in out on May 3rd. And Michael and Brian, I said, let's play some music, so let's play some music. How about?
Cool. Cool.
Comes home late each night. She knows that I really love her, and I get to crying when she's not right by my side. She knows that I would never say a bad thing about her. But has she found just what she's looking for? She walks right. Surprise, she turns out right, she never falters, and I get to wondering what is really on her mind. I hope that she would never think that I would ever doubt her, but has she found just what she's looking for? She walks right through that.
That song, in case you couldn't tell from the last line, is called How Can I Love Her More?
That's its debut.
Oh, yeah, I like it. So tell me about that. Tell me about this song.
It's kind of like an upbeat Turtles type tune.
You know.
Yeah, I wrote that pretty much alone.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, we're gonna do a video for it like next week or something.
Yeah.
All right, so we got the scoop.
Yeah, you got the scoop.
All right, before we let you go, because we're running out of time here, I want to mention that All of It is in the midst of a 2024 public song project. Listeners invited to submit songs based on work in the public domain. You can join our public song project by going to wnyc.org/public song project. Another part of this project is that we have some guest contributors. I think we all know where this is going. You guys are included in the guest contribution. So tell us about that.
Well, we just finished mixing it last night. It's a song called Tired of Me. I'm blanking on the writers right now, but I know a version by Henry Burr. that was done in about 1920. And I got into Henry Burr through Tiny Tim, who I'm a big fan of. We're both fans of.
Tiny Tim fans.
And he loves Henry Burr's voice, and
we love his Henry voice. Burr's voice too, yeah. We just love this song, and we did kind of like a, it's not real a country, but it's got kind of a swing country feel, but it's a really great song, I think. I think we did a good job.
Well, we'll hear that, won't we?
Yes, yeah. You can be the judge of that.
That's right. We've been talking with the Lemon Twigs. A Dream Is All We Know is their forthcoming album. It's coming out May 3rd. Thank you so much for being in studio with us.
Thank you for having us.